This is an IEEE Computer Society podcast. I'm David Alan Greer, and this is In Our Time. Nothing is ever quite as simple as it seems, especially when you get into the world of high technology and high technology security. This was made very clear to me just this summer when I was trying to get in touch with an old student, albeit to get an idea for a column, and discovered that she could not be found no matter what I did. The result of that search forms the basis for today's podcast, which is entitled Honor Among Thieves. For years, I have refused to acknowledge that undergraduates are worthy of first names. First names suggest an intimacy with the adult world that these senior adolescents have not yet earned. They have not demonstrated the qualities that entitle them to a place in the community of educated men and women, and so they deserve only formal appellation of their family. Olmsted, Dumbacher, Hooper, Iltz, Garlinghouse, Rauschy. Only when they have accomplished something in their own right are they entitled to their own names. Major X is one of the few students who has earned an exception to my general rule about names. Shortly after receiving her commission, she's an officer in the U.S. Army, she joined an elite cybersecurity team. In this role, she's supposed to protect her identity, and so she decided that I could refer to her neither by her family name nor by her personal name. Major X, she became, well, at least to me. Over the years, Major X has helped me to understand the changing nature of cybersecurity. She has usually been quite responsive to my requests for information. Within a couple hours of receiving an email message, she'll give me a call, chat a bit about her current assignment, answer my question, and ask about friends from her graduating class. However, last summer, Major X vanished for a couple of months. As August changed to September, she sent me a quick note to say that she would call in a week. On a job, she wrote. Can't talk. Look at my photos on Facebook. Well, Major X is an inveterate photographer, though her pictures tend to be group shots of friends rather than images that really tell a story. Over the past year, she has posted pictures of a beach volleyball game on some tropical island, a shopping spree in Harajuku, a day at one of the Disney theme parks, and an evening at the Grand Théâtre de Genève, in which she is wearing a designer gown that has nothing in common with the old beat-up clothes that she favored as a student. As I paged through the most recent set of photos, I resurrected a worrisome doubt that has haunted me for the past year or so. Did these photos represent real activities, I wondered? Or did she post them to establish a false identity? After all, she has a career in computer intelligence and holds a very high-level security clearance. Also, she's cautious and reserved. I've watched her move through a dinner party and leave no trail that suggested the nature of her job or the name of her employer. She has few reasons to expose her private life to the public or suggest to outsiders how she thinks, how she strategizes, or even how she organizes her free time. When she finally called, I was curious to hear the story of her summer. So, X, I asked, how have you been? Fine, she said, clearly giggling at my question. I have been very fine. As Major X normally appends the word sir to almost anything she says, I decide to press a little harder. What have you been doing this summer? At this point, the giggle became an open laugh. You'll never guess, she said. I gave a talk at DEF CON. For a moment, I was at a loss for words. After all, DEF CON is not only the largest and most notorious of the computer hacker conventions, it's also held in the Nevada desert in the heat of summer. X would have gotten no stronger response from me than if she had said she had just returned from, say, a poker tournament hosted by the North Korean Secret Service. DEF CON, I asked. Yes, she replied. And you were a presenter? I continued. Yes, she said. And did they know that you were in the military? Of course, X added. They didn't care that you weren't a hacker, I tried. Here there was a pause. How do you know that I'm not? This last question was accompanied by another unsuppressed giggle, a giggle almost unbecoming to an officer. I believe that I knew the answer to the question, at least knew it as well as anyone could. After all, I had known Major X when she was merely Sophomore X and was struggling through the lessons of algorithms and data structures. Yet, I had to admit that I probably harbor doubts about anyone connected to the hacker community, as we all generally have doubts about anyone whose accomplishments are shielded by the public face of an organization. At base, DEF CON is really just a conventional organization, a trade show, and not much more. It has talks, exhibits, breakout sessions, social events. The attendees pay a fairly hefty fee, wear a badge, and are given the opportunity to take a room from a special block reserved at the hotel. If you want to meet smart people, learn about hacking, and have fun with friends, hear some good talks, broaden your horizons, and expand your knowledge, claims the conference webpage. Then DEF CON is where you should be. Seriously, the page adds, there's something for everyone to do. Well, the conference may claim something for everyone, at least everyone interested in computer security. And yet, it sorts people into a hierarchy like any organization. The unwashed masses, the novices, the true believers, the inner circle, the leadership. Like most social organizations, it uses relatively simple means to divide people into these classes. It gives badges to participants that distinguish the wearers as speakers, press, organizers, or exhibitors. It offers awards to identify the senior members of the society. Consciously or unconsciously, DEF CON participants support these distinctions with simple actions. For example, they favor a fairly uniform dress of black slacks and black t-shirts. They communicate with one another using a slang that can be both, one, disdainful of outsiders, and two, that is both highly inventive and sufficiently offensive to prevent its use in publications such as Computer or in this podcast. Because the participants are involved with an activity that falls at the edge of polite society, they sometimes enforce social distinctions with brutal means. Use the internet at DEF CON at your risk, counsels the conference material. You will be sniffed. You have been warned. Those participants who do not know how to defend their computers from skilled intruders will find their machines have been invaded and disabled, and beyond any physical and monetary damage, such an attack may bring a social stigma to the victim. The names of individuals who lose control of their machines are posted on a display in the hotel that is called the Wall of Sheep. I needed only a few minutes to confirm that X was indeed a speaker at DEF CON last summer. A Hacker's Guide to Cybersecurity Strategies, Major X, Super Secret Bureau of Hacking, U.S. Army. One of the few talks that did not have a video record posted on the web, which relieved me. While I would have enjoyed viewing a former student's accomplishments, I was fairly certain that she had embraced the social conventions of DEF CON, including the uniform dress code and hacker slang, probably laced with military-strength obscenities. We don't want our children to grow up. We don't want to admit that they know evil. We want them to be like they were in college and wear their little dress uniform every Friday and end every statement with that little dollop of military politeness. DEF CON actually knew evil at its founding, but it too has passed from an innocent childhood into a more uncertain maturity. I started DEF CON to be a party for myself, my friends, and the technology underground, reflected the founder, who is known by his handle of Dark Tangent. It's not meant to be an everlasting event or a summer camp for every kid who owns a computer. When the conference was founded in 1993, hacking was still a new phenomenon. The first public events of hacking, Clifford Stoll's Cuckoo's Egg, Robert Morris's Internet Worm, were barely 5 years in the past. The technical community was unsure about how it should approach the problem of hacking. At present, there's no technological barrier that separates the explorer from the criminal, reported an industry panel. Furthermore, many were willing to defend the rights of those individuals who had tried to gain access to systems. The blame for breaches of security and infiltration of personal, private systems is sometimes placed on the owners of those systems for maintaining an attractive nuisance, explained one report. Even though the professional community of the early 90s had not developed a unified response to the issue of hacking, no one at the time was willing to develop a graduate program for hacking or a professional society devoted to promoting the subject. The only way that hackers could build a body of knowledge was to use informal means, papers circulated among friends, electronic bulletin boards, surreptitious emailing lists. One group made a surprisingly bold effort on the network called BitNet. They created a visible listserv for hackers, but required all potential members to hack their way onto the list. While we have romanticized the private circulation of knowledge, we forget that knowledge dies without an organization to support it. Without a human organization that can sift information and raise the gold from the dust, knowledge will vanish as rumor and innuendo overwhelm any truth that may be making the rounds. In the early 1990s, it was possible to collect a lot of information about computing hacking. However, much of that information was just not true. The birth of DEF CON was marked not only by a lack of information about hacking, but also by tight economic times. The recession of 1990-91 was one of the first times in which technology workers were actually laid off from their jobs. As a result, many young programmers were looking for work. When I started DEF CON, there were no real jobs for people our age in computer security, recalled Dark Tangent. Long-distance phone calls were expensive, Unix was not free, the only people with good internet access were universities and businesses. PCs still cost quite a bit of cash. Initially, DEF CON was a simple and informal activity, a place where people with common interests could meet and relax. As the years progressed, the conference grew, and as it grew, it acquired the trappings of a more formal organization. It requires more people to be involved in organizing the show, complained Dark Tangent. More insurance to cover more damage, more planning, more con events, more volunteer staff to make things run smoothly. At one point in the early part of this century, Dark Tangent concluded, DEF CON has reached a point where it is too big for its own good. An organization may have a single parent, but it is sustained by a committee, even if that committee is known as the Goons, rather than the more prosaic name, such as the Planning and Budgeting Group. If the Goons, the leaders of DEF CON, originally came from that 1993 generation of novice hackers, they soon learned the skills of mature conference leaders. The public information on DEF CON shows how its leaders reduce risks associated with a meeting, built an administrative structure to handle recurring activities, and started recruiting new leaders. Don't spend all of DEF CON sitting at your laptop, proclaimed one webpage. Get involved. It is one thing to get involved in an organization that has socially acceptable goals, public officers, and financial records that have been audited by an accounting firm that is both solvent and free from criminal charges. It is quite another thing to be involved in a group that boasts of its connection to people of dubious intent, takes no advance registration, demands cash at the door, and seems to subscribe to a code of honor among thieves. Yet, against expectation, DEF CON is remarkably open. The website boasts a wonderful set of photographs of the event. Most are informal snapshots and are difficult to read out of context. Still, they contain a lot of information that could be used to identify participants. In a few cases, you can see someone trying to duck out of a photograph. In considerably more, you find people waving the photographer away or making an obscene gesture at the camera. You need to be very careful when you take pictures of random people, warns the DEF CON information. Often they get very upset about that, and you may lose your camera or your consciousness. I sorted through a couple hundred pictures to see if I could find any evidence of X. Even in those sessions that would have been of special interest to her, she was nowhere to be found. I had a brief scare, I must admit, when I thought I saw a familiar ponytail in a photo of a fairly bawdy and explicit conference social event, but a second photograph showed that the woman was clearly not X. If she was at DEF CON, and I have to trust her word, she knew how to avoid the camera. Perhaps she didn't want to be identified with the hacker community. Perhaps she wanted that community to think that she didn't want to be photographed. Perhaps she really was avoiding the camera because she really was a hacker. After digesting the idea that X had spent a week at DEF CON, I asked her if she'd learned anything. "Not a lot," she replied. "Our unit knows most of the things that are being discussed this year. I did meet a lot of interesting people." "What did they do?" I returned. "Tough to say," she replied. "I gathered that most of them did computer security for large companies, but we stayed away from such subjects. We only addressed each other by our handles." "Handles?" I queried. "Nicknames? Dead Man, Stretch, Stone in the Road, Bunbury." "Bunbury?" "To each his own," she replied. At this point, I switched subjects and asked what she had seen of interest in her work. The prior months had been filled with stories of hacker attacks that seemed to be coming from North Korea. "North Korea has expanded its cyber combat unit in charge of intelligence gathering through the internet," claimed a source in Asia. "The general staff of North Korean People's Army has for years been running what it calls the Technology Reconnaissance Team, which consists of about 100 hackers, mostly graduates of a leading military academy in Pyongyang." "Do you think it is coming from Korea?" I asked. "No," she said. "I don't think they're that good." "So where's it from?" "That's the problem," she replied. "A lot of things that we see are coming from a single IP address in China, and they're making no effort to disguise the origin. So either they're being brazen, or somebody's doing a good job of making you believe they're being brazen." "Of course," X replied. "And whoever it is, they could easily have been at DEF CON." You've been listening to In Our Time. This podcast was based on an essay which was published in the December 2009 issue of Computer, which is a publication of the IEEE Computer Society. More about both Computer, the magazine, and the Computer Society can be found at www.computer.org. To find the information about Computer, click on the Publications tab and go to Technical Magazines. Other Computer Society podcasts can be found at computer.org. Just scroll to the bottom and you will find them. If you have any comments, we'd love to hear them, and you can send them to podcasts@computer.org. The music for this podcast came from the Podshow PodSafe Music Network, which you can find at music.podshow.com. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.